Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her daughter Chelsea have written a new book. It's an encyclopedia of sorts chronicling stories of women who have helped shape the world. It's called Gutsy Women: Favorite Stories of Courage and Resilience. This book's release comes during a tumultuous week in Washington, as we know. The White House is deflecting a rapid-fire succession of bombshell developments that have led to the impeachment inquiry of our president. And to talk about all of this, we have with us co-authors Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, both joining us from NPR Studios in New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you, Tanya.
We will get to the book in a minute, I promise. But first, Secretary Clinton, as we mentioned, a lot has happened over the last 24 hours, just as you've gotten on this book tour. And one big development we learned is that the current Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was listening in on that call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. And he also says he won't show up for impeachment depositions. I want to know, as someone who has held this position, how would you have responded if you were on that call?
Well, I think I would have responded in real time. The way that the whistleblower told us people did after the fact, when they fully realized what the president had been saying and the veiled threat and extortion that he was mentioning to the president of Ukraine in return for giving you military aid to protect your country against Russia, we have a favor to ask, and it involves this investigation. I'm troubled by the current Secretary of State's behavior and his reaction, number one, to the fact of the call, which I'm told in reporting he denied knowing about, when now we learn he was actually listening in, and his refusal to respond to the requests from the impeachment inquiry staff. This is yet another effort to undermine the rule of law and our institutions. If there's nothing to hide, if the call was, as the president likes to say, perfect, then the people in his administration should end this constitutional crisis by coming forth, telling what they know to the American people through elected representatives. And the fact that they are stonewalling and refusing to cooperate raises even more questions.
On that subject, you are in a unique position. You've been in a unique position. You were the first lady when your husband was in this this position before. And you were also, during the Nixon impeachment inquiry, a junior lawyer. Talk about a little bit more. Do you think that the Democrats are handling this properly? Should they be doing anything differently?
You know, Tanya, I think that they've handled it appropriately. There was no rush to form an impeachment inquiry. In fact, the speaker was, you know, very deliberate and even reluctant to take that step. But in the face of the revelations from the whistleblower and everything, as you say, that has followed, I think the Constitution required that the House begin this process. You're right. I was on the 1974 impeachment inquiry staff as a very young lawyer. One of my jobs was to write the memo about what is an impeachable offense. What did our founders mean? And what they meant was that in between elections, if any federal office holder, including the president, is violating his oath of office, is abusing the power that has been granted to him, there is a remedy, and that remedy is called impeachment. And you have to meet the standard that is laid out in the Constitution, which in our memo all those years ago, we explained.
Let's talk a little bit about the emails. The Trump administration is investigating the email records of dozens of current and former State Department officials who sent messages to your private email. And of course, this revives a matter that really overshadowed the 2016 election in which you lost. Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. He knows he's an illegitimate president. And I think his obsession with trying to undermine and discredit the work of all of our intelligence agencies, of the FBI, of other governments that were part of disclosing to our own information they had about interactions between the Trump campaign and allies of Trump with Russians – just speaks to the underlying illegitimacy of his presidency. And his obsession with me and this really absurd continuation of something that was investigated repeatedly and no wrongdoing ever found is another attempt to distract and divert attention from his own behavior.
Okay, let's talk about the book, Gutsy Women. Chelsea, I really am interested to know why now? Why did you and your mom feel it was important to write a book like this in this time in history?
Well, I think it's always the right time to share the stories of gutsy women. I think for so long, arguably kind of forever, we haven't heard the stories of the women who have always been there and have helped make not only our country but our world healthier and more equitable, full of kind of more beauty and kind of magnificence. And I think we need to not only kind of rescue these stories from history, but kind of animate them to inspire us today. And for me, this book is really a continuation of the conversation that my mom and I started, you know, when I was just a little girl, with her telling me
stories of
Shirley Chisholm and Jerry Ferraro and Maria Tallchief and these women who had been kind of so galvanizing to her, and that she wanted me to know those stories. And these are stories
that
I want.
You write about that pretty extensively in the book, and you mentioned some of those names that we know very well, including Eleanor Roosevelt and Harriet Tubman. But I want to know, what was the criteria for the women you included in the book? Because I'm sure there were so many folks that you also left out.
Well, that is really true, Tanya.
Tanya, you can't see us, but we're both kind of laughing with each other and at each other, because we started kind of with lists of hundreds of women, and then we actually wrote more than 200 essays, and our editors gently and then not so gently told us that we had to kind of cut that list in half. So there are 103 kind of women in our essays in the book of women who we think really exemplify gutsiness, who kind of lived their lives that they felt compelled to live, called to live for themselves, but also for others, whether others in their family or kind of their communities, or really for our world. And they're all stories that mean a great deal to us. And we hope they spark conversations about kind of gutsy women in readers' lives and help more stories of gutsy women be told.
Secretary Clinton, what's the gutsiest thing you've ever done, both professionally and personally?
Well, the gutsiest thing I've ever done personally was stay in my marriage, and the gutsiest thing I've ever done publicly was run for president, which was pretty audacious. Back when I ran the first time, I was the lonely woman on the stage with, I think, 9 or 10 other candidates. And when I ran this last time, there were actually more women in space than there were women running for president.
There were two.
There were two women in space. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I take inspiration from the stories that we tell. And the criteria were not only is this woman in and of herself someone who we admire, but did she do something to try to help others, to break down barriers and overcome obstacles? Because there are so many women who are great entertainers and artists and great athletes and great political leaders and all the rest who we could choose from. But we wanted to have a mix of telling stories of those who are well-known, but many others who would be forgotten in history. And one quick little aside on this is I was a young girl when I learned about Helen Keller, and I just always admired her story and the story of the woman who taught her to communicate, Ann Sullivan. And just last year, the Texas Board of Education voted to eliminate Helen Keller and me from the curriculum. And I was glad that they reversed that decision, not so much for me, but because I think kids today need to hear about Helen Keller. Similarly, Anne Frank. You know, there's a rise again, unfortunately, of anti-Semitism. And what Anne Frank wrote in her diary while hiding from the Nazis is still so compelling that people from President Kennedy to Nelson Mandela have said that she inspired them.
And that it's so relevant even to this day.
It's so relevant to today. And I think most of the stories, Tanya, are relevant to today.
Thank you, Hillary Rodham Clinton and Chelsea Clinton. The book of Gutsy Women, Favorite Stories of Courage and Resilience, is out today. We have an excerpt at hereandnow.org.